Algar Productions.
This is the Post-Atomic Horror, the most comprehensive Star Trek podcast ever produced. Your hosts are Ron Algar Watt and Maggie Robotham. Episode 419, Fly Me to the Moon, with Terry Lohmeyer.
Hi, friends. Welcome to the Post-Atomic Horror. I'm Al.
I'm Maggie.
I'm Tilo.
Welcome. Hi. One of you sounded very excited to be here. One of you really didn't.
Well,
I'm used to faking it, baby.
Faking it or caking it?
Caking it.
No, thank you.
Is this episode made of cake?
Yes, and if you cut into it, it looks cake
inside. Mr. White, no, it looks like an episode of Star Trek Picard, but it's really a cake. Jesse, what the fuck are you talking about? Oh, man, this, well, this wasn't the worst one, I suppose.
I mean, no.
Tilo, why did you choose this one? Any particular reason?
No, at random.
Okay. I thought it was one that had a thing that you probably will like, but it wasn't.
No, it's okay.
There's a musical number coming next week.
Yeah, I am bummed I missed that, but I can just watch it and then listen to you talk about it later, so it's fine. Yeah.
That is true. That is like a huge time saver.
Yeah,
As like, opposed to in the episode, it's a huge time sink.
Yes.
We're not even there yet.
No.
Like, if all you want to do is watch Agnes sing, you know, like, fucking go off. You're going to have a great time.
Just do like a, I don't know, a bonus feature with like, here's the cast singing their favorite songs or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Here's the full song.
Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Mm-hmm. That's not my name. I'm Captain Picard. All right. Well, I have no idea how you're going to do this, Tilo, because nothing really happened. But please, why don't you tell us what happens in Fly Me to the Moon?
Okay, people, strap in. Because this isn't really a summary. It's just a list of barely connected events that happened in the 42-minute runtime of the show. So here we go. The Observer. No, not the one from Marvel. No, not the one from Fringe. No, not the other ones from Star Trek. The one that looks like Laris. Laris. Anyway, she takes Picard to her apartment so they can have a chat and so that we, the audience, can continue to be baffled as to why this character looks exactly like Laris. Honestly, I don't mind that much. That's a pretty lady right there. Anyway, turns out Picard's ancestor is the pivot point on which all of the future rests. What a coinky-dink! Next, Raffi and Seven need to break Rios out of the immigration bus without showing everyone the get-out-of-jail-free card that is the transporter. Check. Renee Picard is a cute little blondie that looks like a cross between a girl I work with and Taylor Swift. But despite being a gifted and talented kid, she's all depressed or something, and so she might not do the space flight that leads to the relative utopia that we all got used to in TNG. She goes to a therapist, but it's not a properly licensed therapist at all. It's just Q doing a little German accent. Also, a thing that is happening is that there is another damn Dr. Soong, and he's a biologist, and his daughter is a bubble boy vampire who happens to look exactly like Soji, again, for no reason. I think I may need to borrow Al's bucket. Q sends over a biz card, and Q and Dr. Soong meet up. Q hands over just a taste of the cure for not Soji, and Q won't give him more until Dr. Soong does just one little favor for him. Another thing that is happening is that the Borg Queen lures a French cop into the ship and Agnes has to shoot her to keep her from killing the cop. Whoops. Renee is going to a maximum security gala. No, sorry. I mean gala. And the group have to break in and make sure nothing happens that will make Renee not go on the space mission. Agnes puts on a sexy red dress and gets herself captured by security, which is apparently the plan. But what everyone doesn't know is that just before the Borg Queen died, she did something to Agnes. To be continued.
Okay, first of all, when we watched this together, you said, I have no idea how I'm going to do this, where I'm going to come up with jokes. There's a lot of good jokes here.
Thank you.
Yeah. Second, this felt so much like all the things we all complain about with streaming shows, which mm-hmm. is this sure is the middle part joining the previous part and the next part.
Yes, but also it feels like we've been in that for 4 episodes now.
Well, I saw in your notes, you said, didn't they rescue him from ice already? And I had the same thought.
Yeah. It's like, no, like, we still have to rescue. Like, this episode started, they're like, we have to save Rios. And I was like, ah, man, did I dream that part?
So, not only has Star Trek delivered this thrill-packed action-like set piece of rescuing a guy on a bus,
mm-hmm.
but they decided they needed 2 full episodes to do that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Get your guy off the bus.
Mm-hmm.
This is
I mean,
my
listen,
bad
I've been
thing.
On a bus.
Oh.
Yeah, let me just do my bad thing. Nothing happens in this episode.
Nope.
This could have been summed up in 10 minutes, and then we move on to the gala.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing. Yeah. Anyway, so the bus
streaming
was just
show.
Like, there was no chance they weren't getting Rios back.
Of course.
We know how this show works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like, last episode was also nothing happens. Like, what is this season?
Well, it's a mess.
It's certainly a mess. A
it's
big
an opportunity
mess.
For it's an opportunity for Agnes to do cute things.
I mean, yeah, look,
we well
like
then there needs to be
the
more
cast.
Of that.
Yeah.
We like most of the cast. This is kind of the problem we had during Discovery's worst parts is like I like most of these people, but mm-hmm. I don't like what they're doing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I still don't get Raffi's whole Elmo was my best friend. I'm so mad.
Yep.
And then she's like, why don't we just murder the whole past to get Rios back? Like, aren't you a former Starfleet officer or whatever? Like, what?
Well, that's why she's former.
Mm-hmm.
I guess
but
so.
Honestly, I don't remember. Like, I don't. She did it. Why is she that close to Elmo? It doesn't make
know.
Any sense.
No, it's much like her relationship with Seven. It all happened off camera between seasons.
And her relationship with Picard.
Yep. Well, that at least happened between Nemesis and Picard season one, which is like a 20-year gap. I buy that he made new friends then. That's fine.
At least.
But and also, they have great chemistry together. Like, you buy that those two are old co-workers.
Yeah, what I don't like is her, and I think I said this last week, is her, like, suddenly deciding that she hates all the decisions he's making.
Yeah.
When they were the only decisions that, like, well, the timeline's gone wrong. We have to go back in time and fix it. That's standard Star Trek. Why are you mad about this?
Yeah.
Well, like, there's all this stuff where she's like, oh, you're just hanging around with Q all the time, just queuing it up. Like, what?
Well, first of all, he hasn't seen him since the end of All Good Things.
And also, I don't love this either.
Yeah, exactly. He's doing it to torment me, and maybe he thinks it's a fun flirt game, but I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And Maggie's really the only one who thinks that, so.
I'm not wrong, though.
Okay. No, that's a fun flirt game for him.
He's just playing footsie under the table, only the table is the universe?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's fair.
100%.
Okay. Q, knock it off. No.
But he seems, like, serious about it this time.
Well, that's because everything is serious and deadly and dark. And
he seems
stupid.
Serious about everything and just, like, ugh. Yeah.
That's not Q.
No, Q is fun.
Not everything. He did do his ridiculous, as you called out, his cute little, like, so Maggie mentioned, I don't want to step on your observation here, that Q, like, so yeah, he is Renee's therapist, and
mm-hmm.
you said something about him being seen.
He does, like, the whole, like, Freud, like, tell me more about your childhood. Clearly you're angry at your mother thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, if my therapist was like that, I would spin right around and walk out of the room.
That's true. What you had
that's
said
not,
also,
actually,
though.
That's not true. I would stay for the entire session and then hop on the Discord and go to everyone. Guys, you will not believe what my new therapist is like. So.
You did say that, but you also said you were amazed that Q could be observed without him knowing it.
Oh, yeah. There's a bit where they spy on him that's so strange to me. Like,
yep.
He's Q, you know? Like, I kept expecting him to, like, wink at the literally wink at the camera or something, and they don't do that.
I do kind of like the idea that he's doing really sort of hacky comedy characters, like,
mm-hmm.
whether Jean-Luc's watching or not, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Well, maybe he does know that he's being observed, and this is all part of the plan. Just like being captured. It's all part of the plan.
This show really, really loves stealing as much as they can from the more recent Battlestar Galactica. So,
oh, they sure do.
I doubt there's a plan, just like that show. And if you don't think, if you think I'm crazy about this, just wait an episode or two when you see Picard's dad show up.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a whole guy from that other show.
This episode ends with Agnes in a hot red dress talking to a woman that's not there. And I'm just like, okay, so just like you're not even pretending.
Yeah. And that's my good thing. I got nothing else. I'm going to say, look, and I look, we've evolved over time. I try not to just say, hey, look at that hot babe. Because like, I think it. But I can talk about other things on the show. But literally, all I got is Agnes's glorious cleavage in that dress. That's it.
Oh, God,
that's
she looks so hot.
Only that's thing about this episode. Nothing else. Megan? Well,
yeah, she does wear a red dress to this black tie gala. So she is making sure she's noticed.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe getting captured was the plan.
Yeah, that was the plan.
Maybe.
She has to get into this because, okay, they need to hack into the server, which no. I don't even think that's the hacky part. Like, honestly, because
it's a little hacky.
There's a bunch of security and she knows how to hack it. But they're like, oh, but it's not on the internet because they're extra secure, which actually makes sense to me. So she has to get into the server room. So like,
yeah.
OK, well, that's where the cops are. So I guess I got to get arrested. And like, I don't hate that as a plan.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, especially they have her just like get shit faced again and she's stealing whole bottles of wine and stuff. I'm like, oh, God, seriously, we're doing this? And that's like,
yeah, she's
trying to
call attention to herself.
Yeah, no, this is absolutely part. OK, fine. You know what? Yep. You win this round.
And like Tilo said, wearing that thing means she's definitely going to get noticed. So, you know, good job, Agnes.
Yeah.
And they even call out I think Rafi says, the best person to send on this clandestine mission is not the former spy or the ranger.
Mm-hmm.
It's the computer science, the person who majored in computer science.
Yeah, in this case, yes.
I mean, it was, but, you know, fair point.
No, she has the most noticeable cleavage.
Seven's like,
oh, that's what that's like.
Like, I'm not... I know I'm not from this show, but surely you know who I am, right?
Yeah, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Well, come back in your spandex thing and maybe we'll talk. Guess what? It turns out I'm a nasty freak.
Okay, don't get all Rick Berman on me, please. I just made myself sad.
Yeah.
Maggie, what was your bad thing?
Oh, boy. Okay. I am so tired of Brent Spiner being 8 million identical Soongs. Like, they did this shit last season. They keep doing this shit. I think, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure they do this shit again next season. And I'm so tired of it. Like, Spiner's a good actor. He's great at being Data. I love seeing him as Data. But I'm so sick of them going to him over and over and over again to just be the big reveal. Like, he's the encore that never fucking goes away.
Well, and I was thinking about this. Okay, so we had Noonien and Soong, who created Data and Lore. We had the one that showed up in Enterprise who was involved with genetic engineering and tied to the Klingon virus that made their foreheads smooth.
Al, if you're wondering, I looked this up to see how many different Soongs.
Yeah, no, I'm testing my memory, which if you followed our sidetrack for 4 years on Kids Love Batman, you'll know my memory's been getting worse and worse, but somehow I remember all this shit still. Then we had last season, we had the guy who was hanging out in the hippie robot commune.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then this guy. Is that all of them?
I think that's all of them.
Okay. That's a lot.
Yeah.
And it makes this universe feel very small because the only scientist in any era is some relative of Data's, basically.
Well, and like just every time it's like, yes, I'm another shitty asshole who fucking hates everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Time to have another fucking kid who I can teach to fucking hate everybody. Also, they all look exactly the same.
Well, okay. Now here's my bad thing. I like Laris. I like Soji. But this whole people in the past who look exactly like people we couldn't figure out how to work into the plot thing is so tedious.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Yeah.
It does. It's so tiring.
It literally, it feels like, yeah, we got this person. We wrote this person out, but I guess we still need, like,
they're
I don't
under
know, you
contract
can be this guy.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they just like
fucking,
them and they're like, yeah.
You
I mean,
decide.
That's fine. Yeah. I like them too.
Yeah.
It's like, you decided not to bring Laris or Soji on this adventure. Fucking like, oh shit. We didn't hire enough actors. Can you just come back and be this person?
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, though, I would rather see Brent Spiner as the Dr. Soong than as old, puffy, waxy-looking Data again.
That's fair.
Well, then don't watch season three, I think.
Oh, no.
I haven't seen season three, but I'm pretty sure Data, because they can't reunite the whole next-gen cast and not bring in Data.
Oh,
that would be,
yeah.
That would be crazy. Also, this like I said, the whole universe feels small because there's a Soong and a Picard like that are tied together in this future that must go forward. And Maggie, you and I both spotted this at the panel. The people.
Oh, I was so mad about this stupid
his funding or whatever. There's a Rozhenko. Like,
yep.
Like, come on, man.
Sure, why not?
Are there just? Is everyone on the Enterprise crew just related to someone of historical importance? That's
yep,
so tiring.
Yep.
And Leia
He's
Thompson.
Sitting next to a Crusher and a Deanna Troi.
Mm-hmm. And yes, as Tilo correctly points out, that scene also had Leia Thompson.
Oh,
Who was here to direct a couple episodes earlier in the season. Nice to see her, but also...
Yeah, that I'm less mad about.
Did she, like...
She
I wonder if that
anything.
Character is her character from Space Camp. Like all grown up and she's still involved with scientific research. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Tilo, what was your good thing?
Oh, I really like how the Borg Queen interacts with Agnes.
Mm.
Like, yeah, she did go in her brain and now she knows how to talk to her, but she sounds so human and empathetic and it feels kind of like this is the first time the Borg Queen has ever had a friend.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, oh, I got this guy and I'm gonna do something terrible to him, but I don't want to start without you.
Mm-hmm. That is very much how it feels.
Yeah.
Oh, she'll understand.
Mm-hmm. We're BFF. We're going to stay up all night and braid each other's...
quite cables.
Well, cables, I'll... yes, good.
Yes.
Oh, boy. No, it's and I've said this, and I'll probably continue to say it. The woman playing the Borg Queen, very, very good. Like,
so good.
Pivoting between being the proper creepy Borg Queen we've seen over the years and this take on her, which is also good.
Yeah.
I still don't understand this Agnes is special and not like any person the Borg have ever found thing, but whatever.
I just assume she's lying to Agnes.
That actually is a good read.
Like she's playing off of Agnes's depression and shit and just being all like, I'm the only one who will ever understand you and I'm the only person who likes you. Everyone else on this ship thinks you're a dumb asshole.
The thing is, I would buy that and that's a great take, except you and I have seen the rest of the season and you know it doesn't pan out like that. You know, Agnes does actually end up being special for some
Well, everyone in Star Trek is special for some reason.
I mean, look, I understand why would a show follow someone who isn't?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to watch a nobody. Like, I want to watch a
No, that's why
a
I hate Lower Decks.
Something.
Well, that's one
but,
reason.
I mean, maybe this is a Doctor Who kind of lesson where everyone can be special. That's what Doctor Who says.
But only if they're a Picard or a Soong.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes. This is like anyone can have the Force. No, you have to be a Skywalker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or Palpatine's granddaughter.
That just makes me think of the tweet. Ryan Johnson, once there was a girl named Rose. J.J. Abrams, no, there wasn't.
Yeah.
I love that.
Mm. Well, I love it because I hate it.
Yeah, no, that's why.
No, it's good.
I loathe that fucking movie.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about, not the Renee that Maggie loves burned to death.
Renee!
But Renee, the girl's name, Picard's great-grandmother or whatever.
Oh, by the way, I was so fucking mad that she was also named Renee Picard.
That is very lazy.
It's
well,
so
no,
lazy.
Maybe the other Renee was named after her.
It's 200 years. It's not like these people all know each other. Well, I guess they do now because Picard's just like, I know you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I called... I correctly identified Tilo's joke when we were watching the first episode of this mm-hmm. season, where he's actually, this wasn't a bad bit of setup, where he reminds us that he is from a long line of explorers, which is established. They didn't just pull this out of their ass. He is, I think, actually, he says in that bit in Generations that you love to make fun of, where he's like the first Picard, on Mars, the first Picard to sail the ocean, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what their family's done forever. So, like, yeah, this tracks. Mm-hmm. But they talk about her, I was saying Tilo's joke about him being a Nepo baby.
He's definitely a Nepo baby.
Yeah, which made me laugh at the time, still makes me laugh. But, so she has bouts of depression, and the show basically is treating that the same way they treat homelessness and all the other 21st century problems. They all just wring their hands and say, won't someone do anything about this barbaric depression? Like, gosh, all of us would love that. Mm-hmm. How do you propose to do that, show?
Except Agnes is supposed to be still depressed and sad. Mm-hmm. So
because humans are still humans, so yes.
Like, so you didn't fix it all.
Picard literally turns to the screen at one point, or the camera at one point, and just goes, depression is a problem we all face, and we should probably try to be a little nicer to our friends who have to deal with it. I'm Jean-Luc Picard.
I mean, look, I've written a couple of lines like that in Endeavor that I wish I'd done a little more subtly, but, you know.
I'm just, as someone with depression, I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me the magic pill, please.
Yeah, please. I would love that.
Probably someone has them in this future. Okay, future.
Q has it.
We determined that they said that the Europa launch is April 15th, 2024. So that's a week from when we're recording. Yes.
Better hurry there up, guys.
There is so much technology in this that when they did this in 2022 was tomorrow for them.
Yeah.
And they just decided... Someone has the technology to send a human to Europa in a timely fashion.
Yep.
No, we don't have that. No one's working on that.
We haven't even got to Mars yet. Come on. Yeah.
And I mean, she doesn't land on the planet.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. It could take months, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. Soong has a force field that protects his vampire daughter from the sun, which it's generated by drones, but it's still a force field in the Star Trek sense. I'm pretty sure we don't have that technology now.
Thought it was just a sunshade, but still, either way,
because it blinks out like it's made of energy. It's not a physical thing, I don't think.
No, but like an electronic sunshield.
Not a force field, but
a sunshield.
I would honestly believe it more if like sunglass frames came out of it or something. You know,
like a Mr. Burns style dome.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be fine.
Yeah.
This is my Mr. Burns style dome.
And you got a woman or a dude growing a woman, like he's his daughter is a genetic experiment.
That's right. Yeah.
Where did all this tech come from, man?
Yeah, we can't do any of this shit now.
I can believe some of it because he's like, I'm a mad scientist or whatever. I'm making shit in my basement. But like that only goes so far.
The show...
He ain't that smart.
As we will see later in the season and then in a connected episode of Strange New Worlds, this is something you and I have complained about for a long time, that Star Trek is so concerned about making the real world timeline line up with Star Trek, and it's not gonna
happen. Me nuts.
The longer Star Trek goes on, the more we realize, it didn't happen the way they predicted because it's science fiction and it almost never does. Just let it go, man.
It's guys, it doesn't have to, like,
no,
you don't have to be making Star Trek to be all like, and this is exactly how it's gonna be. Like,
no, they've when they said that the eugenics wars happened in the late 90s, that someone is really bothered by that, to the point where they're now saying, now it happened in the mid-21st century, you see. Okay.
Well, it happened you could just easily hand-wave this and say it happened in an alternate universe.
Yes, I know.
So
everything
easy.
Else does.
Or just, it's pretend.
Well, it is pretend.
It's a pretend show where everything is internally consistent, but because it's pretend, not consistent with the world, it's fine. But I wonder, because I don't know, we still got a week to go. Maybe there will be a Europa mission, but when that inevitably doesn't happen, are they going to have to do another time travel episode to fix that? Because that's the way they've been going, and I hate it.
I am not looking forward to stupid Elon Musk coming out and going, yeah, here's a, mm-hmm. we're going to Europa now. And then his ship explodes and he pisses himself. Mm-hmm. Actually, sounds I'm a little right. looking forward to that.
Yeah, that,
that part.
It really picked up steam at the end there.
Yeah. Yeah. There is one cute thing that I liked when yes. in the utterly forgettable bus escape. Everybody, all the passengers have handcuffs on, mm-hmm. or zip ties, I think. Mm-hmm. And so the one of the, they're trying to fight the guard, and someone whacks him over the head with both hands, and it was very much like a Kirk move.
Yeah, when Rios is saying, hey, good job with that punch there, and he sort of mimes what he did,
yep.
that kind of brings it home where he does the double, like, double-handed thing.
It's
like,
yeah.
yeah. Once again, Rios making a meal out of nothing. Just,
best
he
part
had
of
nothing
the episode.
To do in this episode, but he was so, just, like, talking up his fellow deportee. Just like, mm-hmm. hey, man, good job punching out that racist.
This and, is yeah. a good note here I wrote. It said, Rios is so charming and hot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah.
T, you are correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like, that's just a fact.
It is a fact.
Honestly, this entire season was just Rios fighting racism. Like, I would like it a lot better.
Yeah, but, you know, give it a little allegory. Don't just mm-hmm. send him to now and have him fight Trump goons. That's boring.
Mm-hmm. No, I want to see him actually fight Trump now.
that would be over in a second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be really satisfying, though.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, like, Patrick Stewart, as he is now, could do that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to fight all the Secret Service guys first. That's how you make it last longer.
That's fine. Yeah, Brent Spiner could hit them with his car.
Are you a bad enough dude to beat up the former president?
mm-hmm. I hate him so much.
Yeah, same. What else?
Let's have a look at my notes here.
Oh,
my good thing. Forgot
oh,
about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, yeah. Please, please.
There's a bit where the, Picard and Laris are off, show up at the, Picard basically just finally convinces Laris to like, yeah, you got to come with my crew and help out and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, are they a good crew? And he's like, oh, yes, I love them. Just as that happens, we cut to them trying to disappear a dead cop.
It's,
and that is
it's really well
funny.
Composed because what they did, it's on La Serena and it's there's two levels.
Mm-hmm.
And so Picard and fake Laris are walking across the top, sort of the catwalk level. And the shot, you can actually see the body being dragged below them. Yep. It's not a cut. I'm not trying to correct you. I'm saying it's even
funnier.
No,
you're like they're actively watching it happen.
Because you see it, but it's also not entirely in their frame of vision. So maybe they missed it. And it is a genuinely good moment of comedy.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's just like, that. Lift the legs.
Mm-hmm. He's
You're
not
banging
dead,
his head against the floor. It doesn't matter.
I know. It's still funny.
Yeah.
But I wanted to like, because there's all this talk of not changing the future. I mean, freeing a bunch of people who got deported.
Mm-hmm.
Like, good. I'm glad they did that.
Yep.
But also,
that will change the future.
I feel like an entire busload of Mexicans going back to Mexico, no longer going back to Mexico, mm-hmm. probably changed the destiny of a couple of families, you would think.
Yeah.
But they're not Picard, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah
no. If they don't have a name from the next generation, then they don't matter. So
they're, what would be the Spanish version of Picard? Picard, oh, no, that's ridiculous. No one would have that.
No.
I thought I heard you guys talking about me in here.
Nope. Definitely not talking about singing.
Would you like me to sing some opera?
No, I'd be happy to do it. I'm good.
There's sort of a hacky line involving the cop and the stuff. But anyway, when Raffi and Seven and Rios come back, Agnes is covered in blood, and she goes, "Don't worry, it's not my blood."
I actually liked that.
I mean, it's in everything. That is such an overused line.
Yeah, it's very Agnes.
It is very.
It is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, it's fine.
It's not mine. It's okay.
Don't worry about it.
She keeps like, I genuinely liked her. No, I can connect to a Borg Queen's brain and then disengage and it'll all be fine. Don't worry about it. Like, you idiot.
Yeah.
You overconfident idiot. I like that kind of character in Star Trek. I always have.
Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. That's just me. I can do it. I don't need any help. See you later.
Well, that's true, but you don't always leap before looking is the thing. It's more me.
Stop trying to connect with the Borg Queen, T.
Why are you measuring? Just cut.
She's the most interesting person on the ship.
I mean, that is true. Well, with Rios gone, that is true.
Yeah.
Well, she's not happy with Rios right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're busy having fights in the middle of, like, life or death situations.
Well, that's, like, that's this whole season.
Yeah.
I have a note here. I would give Star Trek 20% of my income for the rest of my life if they promised to stop shooting everything in the fucking dark.
Oh, God, this show is so fucking
Turn on a light, for God's sake.
So you really like that scene of Q and Soong in the restaurant, then?
Oh, that didn't bother me.
Because it's very light.
About, yes. It was a light restaurant.
Yes.
Restaurant.
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 Yeah. Yes.
Weirdly, French people just say restaurant. It's
yeah, I know. English it's very weird. Only English people say restaurant.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have croissant at the restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Have one with
all
Marc
of this
or
can
Dumont.
Be traced back to.
Yes.
Ugh.
What happened?
Fucking blanked on the name of the fucking John Cleese. Jesus Christ.
Ah.
What about him?
Just trace back to him doing a waiter accent.
Oh, yes, of course.
Don't worry about it. I just pissed that entire joke down my pant leg.
Oh, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was about to say this show does that all the time, but that's the other show we're covering on our Patreon, by the way, patreon.com/Algar. Lower Decks. So let's talk about Q. So Q hacks into Soong's computer, I guess, and 3D prints this cool looking business card so that the designers gave Q a logo.
Yeah, they sure did.
Now his action figure has a unique thing to stand on like all the other ones. Remember when the Borg had a logo?
Yeah, I thought that was weird. And then they put it on the floor of their castle.
Yeah, like I liked, you know, all the other ones like the Cardassians and the Klingons and the Romulans because they have flags. They have societies that have symbols. That makes sense. The Borg shouldn't have that in Q.
No, they should just have a QR code.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right. Mm-hmm. And Q should just have a Q code?
I guess. But the, you know, the QR code is square, like a Borg cube.
Yeah. So. Oh, I hate QR codes. Also put a phone number on the thing, and Maggie, you had a little tidbit about this.
Oh, yeah, so I forgot about this right up until I saw it in the episode, and, like, I remembered, Q has a phone number that you can call, and I did when I was watching this episode.
Oh, cool.
And what is it?
It's basically Q just going, you've reached the Q continuum. We're all out being omnipotent right now, and also we don't want to talk to you.
Oh, so they just got Delancey to record like a little cameo
and I have a
thing?
Like, you can find it on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
That's cute. Yeah.
I like that ARG.
The thing I'm most proud about is that I made a phone call.
Yeah, that's good. Somebody might have picked up. You don't know.
Oh,
what
no.
What if it was Q?
I was so worried, like, actual John Delancey would be all like, hello.
Mm-hmm. They've been forwarding his calls to that number ever since.
Yep.
You're
that person who didn't like season 2 of Picard, isn't it? Aren't you? Well, I'm probably not. Hopefully, I'm not the only person.
Yeah, listen, your talents were wasted, sir. It wasn't your fault.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah, yeah, the fact you that you could have an actor like him in a show written by today's standards could has so much potential, and they just Speaking of pissing things down your leg.
Ugh. I was so excited just like when we were heading into this season. Like, Q, come back.
Q's back. Guinan's back. Like, we can finally find out what the thing is between the two of them and all that.
But what if he had an evil plan?
And what if we basically rehashed the least interesting part of First Contact, which is there's an important space flight and we have to go back in time and make sure it happens. Like, you did. And they did it in the original series, too. You've done this. A bunch, guys. It's still not interesting. Fake Laris, I don't remember what her actual name is.
It's something shit, like it's like Thorn or like
Glar.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's, but she is, you're right, Observer, which makes me think of like her holding her brain in a pan.
Yeah, not that Observer.
Hello, Observer. Thank you, Observer.
Different Observer.
Yes. But she is a Gary Seven, which
yes,
I that's not a bad thing to connect to, because that's a weird idea with more potential behind it from the original series that no one's ever done anything with, and that's fine. But Picard saying, "Oh yes, I remember Kirk's Enterprise," ran like. There would have been there's a better way to introduce that without Picard saying, "I remember that classic episode of the original Star Trek series."
We get enough of that over on Lower Decks.
Mm-hmm.
Like Patreon. I was briefed on this when I became Grand High General.
What's that?
Like I was briefed on this when I became Grand High General.
Yeah, Dr. Gary Seven, PhD, told me, or his successor Gary Nine.
Yep,
we skipped over Gary Eight. He was a real asshole. But
you're
I
Gary
again,
7-8, Gary 9.
Oh, God. You're back. What else? Oh, but she is doing, I love her natural Irish accent. Mm-hmm. I don't love the American accent she's doing for, "Hello, Picard, let's go rescue your grandmother."
It doesn't bother me, but that's not a thing that bothers me.
Okay, well, the bloodline didn't bother me, so...
Yeah.
She looks so different. They just, like, did her hair a little differently and didn't put the ears on, and she looks so different to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't confuse those characters ever.
I had trouble realizing that she was Laris until Picard's like, "Laris, wow!"
You have what you think is face blindness, and I'm not saying you don't have that. I'm just saying, like, it hasn't been diagnosed, but you have trouble recognizing people.
So, I do.
You know. I spotted her immediately, because look at her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's hot.
She's a very attractive lady. Yeah.
This is actually, like, a really attractive cast. I don't know if you guys had noticed.
Yeah.
A few people had noticed. They're all hot.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, except Soong, but, you know. I know you used to have a thing for Brent Spiner.
Oh, God, so I really do.
But that goodwill is what's informing your opinion. It's not
if I saw him now out of nowhere, I would just go, "That's an old man."
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And now I'm going, "Look at that cutie."
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be like, "I'm an old man."
It's like,
just don't talk.
Because he played Data with such childlike wonder, every other character he plays has to just be such a shitty, like, jerk, and I hate it.
Yeah.
He's grumpy.
Yeah, everyone's an asshole. I mean, you're right, but also, this is Star Trek. Come on, man.
You're right, but you shouldn't say it.
Well, this show's supposed to be the hopeful one.
Yeah.
But also, okay, let's talk about his vampire daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Bubble Boy.
Yeah, she's got some rare condition where she can't be in the sun or air.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
Maybe I mean, I'm not saying that's not a real medical thing. Maybe it is. I don't
know. Sun is, air is not.
I don't know. Like, there was the Bubble Boy, which he did have trouble being outside of his controlled environment. I understand that.
I thought that was because he, like, had, like, no...
immune system.
I think that's what
it was. Exactly. The germs, not the actual air.
Yeah. But
she's like, the sun is like acid, and the air is also like a different type of acid.
Well, and we see Q sends a potion.
Mm-hmm.
Here, drink this elixir.
Yep.
Star Trek.
It's glowing blue, so you know it's good for mana.
Yes, exactly. And so she can go out into the sun, and she jumps in the pool, and it's not a bad little, like, she's lived her whole life in this stupid bubble, and she can actually go, like, they're in Southern California. First thing she does is jump in the pool, and that's not bad. But then it's wears off, and the effect of her immediately getting these veins, like,
The black veins.
What the fuck is happening right now?
Mm-hmm. Well, also that the injection worked so quickly. Like, this is some fast-acting blue shit.
Now, first of all, if you see blue liquid, you shouldn't just touch it.
You can touch it. It's fine.
It
no, you touch it.
But that's a thing between me and Tilo.
No, if you see blue liquid, it's fine to touch.
I had a pan of Windex that I'd used to clean off a bunch of dry erase stuff, and Tilo walks in and sees it and says, "Oh, what's this?" And she sticks her hand in it. Like a maniac.
Tilo.
Look, you can't send me to any alien planets. I will bring all the alien junk back with me. Like, I'll touch it.
You'll just find all the alien Windex.
Well, but I will touch things.
There's a reason when we took one of those pictures when we got a good chunk of the guests together where we're all covered in tribbles and you look delighted.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
Because we know this about you.
I would bring. I would be the one with the trip.
Yeah, you're the one that
the
brought the infestation to the ship. Exactly.
That's me.
Yes. But it, yeah, you're right. It wasn't a potion. It was an injection. And I know this because they gave us a loving close up of the needle puncturing the vein and
watching it
go. And look, I know, Maggie, I know you give yourself shots frequently, so it probably didn't bother you, but it squicks me out.
No, here's the thing. She uses such a huge fucking needle. Like,
it's
okay.
A really big needle.
It's a fucking enormous needle. Like, this would destroy your arm. Mm-hmm. I didn't know about this when I started taking estrogen. Mm-hmm. Estrogen is, like, the way I get it in, like, the little bottles is really, mm-hmm. really thick. Mm. So if you suck it up with a regular gauge needle, it takes forever because, like, it's forcing its way through this thin needle. I have to buy these huge needles just to get it out of the canister. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. That's the gauge she is using to stab into her arm.
Oh.
No wonder it fucking bleeds.
Yeah.
So that's just for effect.
Yes.
And so we can shoot a close up of it in HD so you can mm-hmm. just see every. It's the same with the thing in Pulp Fiction with when he shoots up. It just,
oh, yeah.
Like, I got to turn my head. Like, mm-hmm. I'm desensitized to movie violence and horror stuff and all that, but needles, no thank you.
The needles in movies and TV look so fake to me that they don't even bother me. Mm. I will pass out if you give me a needle, but it does.
I've got a bunch, so.
No, I'm good.
They were at the bottom of the blue liquid, so don't touch it again.
Oh, no.
Even before this, like, when I moved to the States, I had to get so many fucking shots, like...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Needles are not a problem
anymore. You gotta get your vaccinations. Yeah. Look, I've given blood and I get vaccinated. Like, it's all fine. I just have to look away is all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Like, I'll do it and I don't, like, I it sucks that you pass out. I hate that for you. I don't, it's not that bad for me. But
I pass out at the drop of a hat, so.
Yeah.
I have had what I refer to as a squirter, which is when I hit a blood vessel. And awful. You take the needle out, and it's like, pfft.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing all these surveys once to earn extra money, and one of them was like, this is a do-it-yourself blood draw kit. And I'm like, I can do that. And I was, because I'm an idiot. Mm-hmm. And I did it, and I was on the phone with someone because they were observing me. And then I had to sit on the floor for a bit because mm-hmm. I realized that I was going to pass out.
It's scary doing it the first time by yourself. It's fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I now have to watch my blood sugar and mm-hmm. I have the diabetic test kit. Unfortunately, that's just pricking your finger. And even mm-hmm. that is not fun. But
anyway, blood sucks. Let's not not have any.
Right, right, right.
You're listening to Needle Talk.
Weird that Mal didn't get in on this one.
Mm-hmm. You guys talking about needles? Not that kind. Oh.
Mm. Okay. Anything else about this? Like, that's about everything I had.
It was weird seeing their current. There's this bit at the beginning where Renee is doing a simulation and of space flight, and I'm like, I hate all of this old space stuff. I mean, current space stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
Also, they were so clearly doing the Kobayashi Maru thing from the beginning of Wrath of Khan.
I honestly was shocked that they weren't in the name of the shuttle wasn't like the Kobayashi or something.
Yeah.
Like, really, guys? It's right there. You could just, it's one of the three Star Trek things people know. You just write it down.
Well, that's why I like the connection to Gary Seven so much, because again, mm-hmm. it's a big idea that warrants further exploration, and they haven't done it to death like they have every single moment from Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She should have just had an apple as soon as she came out.
Yep.
Oh,
and then her...
That apple. That apple's good. I thought you were talking about the episode The Apple.
No.
Which was not good.
No, no.
That would have been amazing.
Uh-huh. That statue
out,
with the one
a big
fang.
Lizard head.
Mm-hmm. But it's only got one fang. Oh, that bothers me. All right. Anything else?
I think that's it.
Nope.
Kilo?
Good.
Well, your Picard season 2 experience, how would you rate it overall?
I would rate it would not do again.
Well, there's
D plus.
We're halfway through. There's five more episodes. You're welcome to watch them, you know, living as you do in the same house with me.
Mm-hmm.
You could watch all the rest with me because it gets worse from
here. I do want to see the next one because I heard there was battery eating.
Oh, mm-hmm. My God. Yes. There sure
is. The entire reason this show exists.
It's up. Well, that and the file folder, but we'll get there.
Yo, battery eating is funny. The file folder just makes me blindingly mad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What about old man Spiner behind the wheel of a Tesla?
That's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
And we will talk about this when we get to it, but that was a reaction picture for me on Twitter for a year.
Yep. Yep.
Every time I was irrationally angry about something, I would just post that. Which, going full steam into COVID, happened a lot more frequently in those days. So, mm-hmm. Had a lot of cause to use it. All right. Tilo, you got anything you'd like to plug?
As always, funnybubbles.etsy.com. And I sell cute little costume horns and soap and just, I like making things, so.
Mm-hmm.
So I
buy Tilo's horns and soap. She does a good job.
Please do.
When I make something and I don't know what to do with it, it goes up there.
Mm-hmm. When you make a unique, one-of-a-kind thing for someone, you always make another one to sell?
Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Still a little bitter about the puppy bouquet?
I only sold like four more of those.
Amanda was supposed to have the only one.
Well, she had the best one.
Well, all right. That's okay.
That is true.
The others were cheap knockoffs.
Ah, well then. All right. Our website, as ever, postatomichorror.com. If you want to write to us, postatomichorror@gmail. I am anticipating emails correcting us about the technology that this stuff does exist. Honestly, if you guys know about it, let us know. Because I don't feel like doing the research myself. I'm so tired.
I feel like we'd know about a trip to Europa.
You would think.
I'm not on Twitter anymore. I don't follow any of this stuff.
I try to keep up with if anything interesting is happening and not terrible, which is so rare, let's see. Oh, our Patreon, patreon.com/Algar. We are reviewing Lower Decks. As we finish this, we're recording the second pair of episodes, which will go up on the 15th. You get those years before the general audience and whole other Star Trek series for us to talk about. So check that out. You can pledge as little as a buck or more if you want
and
hear all that and stuff from our other shows too. So check that out. And that's all for this time.
Yeah. See you, folks.
The Postatomic Horror Podcast is a co-production of Maggie Robotham and Ron Algar-Watt. Copyright 2024. Please don't sue us. We're just doing this for fun.